just as we were worshiping, I saw a big castle. And what rose up in my heart was, we're king's kids. And then the Lord just spoke gently and he said, so many in this room even don't believe it. You don't understand your worth. You don't understand that in his kingdom you are royalty. You're always talking down about yourself. You're always doubting that the promises are for you. But when you do those things, when you say those things, it's in complete contradiction to God's word. For it's not just me that's a king's kid or Pastor Jim, but you are a king's kid. It means there's a bunch of princesses and princes in this room. And the Lord wants us to believe that tonight. Saw him just handing scepters to us, and that's his authority in his name. But even now, you got to believe it. You know it in your mind, but you don't know it in your heart. So right now, we just come before you, Lord. Father, we repent of every time that we have spoken contrary to your word, contrary to the royalty that you have made us. Lord, we declare that we are king's kids, Lord, every one of us, even when we don't feel it. That our words will line up to that. That we will receive the crowns and the scepters that you have for us, Lord, and the robes. Oh, can you receive it tonight? Can you receive it tonight? It's like God's even weeping over some of you because even now you won't believe it. You refuse. You refuse it. Receive it tonight. Receive it tonight. Even if by faith you have to reach out your hand and just grasp a hold of that scepter, you just go ahead and do it.
Do you know who you are? Do you really know who you are? I would ask, who is defining to you who you are? Is the world defining for you who you are? Are your friends defining you? Are you defining yourself? Do you really know who you are? Are you allowing me to define you? Do you really know who you are? You see, if you truly know who you are, then you will speak differently about yourself. You will not allow anything or anyone to define you to you but me. Until you understand who you really are, you will continually live with ups and downs throughout your life. You will be like a wave that rises and falls over and over and over again. You will not truly be happy because there will be this ongoing contradiction between who you have allowed to define you and who you really are. There will not be a settledness on the inside. There will not be the kind of peace that I have promised you on the inside. You have to come to the place of understanding who you really are before you can truly go deeper into me. A lack of understanding concerning who you really are will impact your spiritual growth beyond what you truly understand. You cannot bring your definition of you into the depths of my presence as you have tried. You must lay down all of the self-defined perceptions, all of the world-defined perceptions, and all of your relationship-defined perception of who you are, and embrace the fullness of who I say you are. This is absolutely critical to live in the fullness of my promises for you. I say you're worthy. What do you say about yourself? I say that you are qualified to access every spiritual blessing that I have made available to you. But what do you say you're qualified to receive? You must allow yourself to be defined by me. And when this happens, it will accelerate your spiritual growth because you will understand in greater measure your potential in me. When you became born again, I did not produce a loser. I produced someone who has the victory of Christ dwelling inside. Allow me to define you to you. Live daily in that understanding and understand the joy of your salvation. Know who you are in me and live triumphantly in that victory every day of your life in every single situation. You are more than a conqueror through me, says the Lord. Would you please turn to Psalm 119? Psalm 119. Give you just a moment to turn over there. Psalm 119. And here in Psalm 119, just look at one verse for the moment. Verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding to the simple. Let me just say something here about verses like this. Don't ever dismiss the Old Testament as not being relevant today. You know, don't ever make that mistake. There was a lady that I knew. She loved God. But she was a part of a church that they said, well, we're a New Testament church, so we don't really study the Old Testament too much, whatever. Well, you need to study the Old Testament because there is so much in it that is prophetic relative to the body of Christ. And this particular verse here, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. That is more relevant now than what it was thousands of years ago when it was written. Far more relevant. This word entrance, it comes from the word peta. And I may mispronounce some of these Hebrew words, but I mean, it means exactly what it sounds like, the entrance. The entrance. So, you know, I don't know how else to put this, but it reveals something entering into a place where it did not previously exist. I mean, that'd be one way to think of it. And the word light comes from the Hebrew word or. And yeah, it means an illumination. A light, an illumination. And then the word understanding, it comes from a Hebrew word bein, or something like that. And it means to discern, or discernment, to perceive, or perception, to be intelligent. And it doesn't mean that a person's lacking intelligence. Well, it does. It means you're lacking intelligence. But I guess you could say to increase intelligence be a way to say that. And then when it talks about it giveth understanding, you know, to the simple. That word simple, it means, and in this verse, it means naive concerning the things of God, deficient in observing or understanding the Word of God, needing insight that can only come from God's Word. So, this is a very critical passage. A New Testament variation of this verse would be 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, where it says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." And then if you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and take a look beginning in verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit," and that's talking about your born again spirit, not the Holy Ghost, "but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now, when we first got born again, there was a major transition that took place on the inside of us. We now have a spirit, the born again spirit, we now have a spirit that can understand the deepest of the deep things of God and His Word. But when we first get born again, we are, Psalm 119, verse 130, we're simple. We're lacking understanding. And I have to tell you, that is one of the most difficult things to get across to Christians at times. Because there is this I don't know what you want to call it, it's an arrogance, really. That I'm smart. You know, I can spell my name. I'm intelligent. And when I read the Bible, I can understand, you know, I understand these words, why they're English, or whatever language you have. And so we make this assumption that we can understand, that we do understand these things, just from the get-go. But that's not true. We are simple. We are lacking understanding. A very, you know, rude way to put it is we're just plain dumb and stupid, because we just got born again. We don't understand these things. You know, you have a baby, a little bitty baby. You don't expect that baby to understand things. Why? Because you have to teach that baby. You have to teach the baby what is red, what is blue, what is green. You have to teach the baby 1, 2, 3. ABC, dog, cat, mom, dad, brother, sister. You have to teach. The baby doesn't know anything other than I'm hungry and I just messed my diaper. That's it. That's all these babies know. When we get born again, we are babes in Christ. And we do not know, we don't know squat. Now, if you were raised in church, you do have a bit of an advantage. Because if you were raised, well, for example, you take somebody who's raised in, like I was, in a Baptist church. There's a lot of Bible that is read. A lot. And so, yeah, in your mind, you have a storehouse of Bible. Then when you get born again, you now have a spirit that can tap into that mental storehouse. But just because you can tap into it doesn't mean you understand it. The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. So just because you've been raised in church, you might not have gotten born again until you're 25 years old. Well, praise God that you were raised in church, and praise God you got born again. But now, just having that word doesn't mean you fully understand it. You just got born again. And so what happens is, a lot of Christians, they come to this, or they have this this dynamic on the inside that, well, I'm born again and I go to church, therefore I understand the word. And then if there are things they don't understand, sometimes you'll hear something like, well, you know, not all things are meant to be understood in this life. I've heard that. You've got to wait till you get to heaven to understand. Well, now that contradicts the word, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The only way it can be profitable is if I understand it. Now, I may not understand everything right now, but I can. I mean, he tells you right here in Corinthians that we've not received a spirit, you know, the lost nature that's associated with the world, but the born-again spirit which comes from God, so that we can know the things that are freely given to us of God. So you can know everything. You can understand the Word of God. And one of the most challenging aspects of this is the fact that there are too many sincere Christians who lean on the pastor for their knowledge. And when it comes to questions, well, go ask the pastor. Okay, well, I understand that to a certain point. I really do. Well, go ask the pastor. He'll know. He'll understand. Well, in some churches, that's not true. There are some churches, I don't think you want to go asking the pastor too much, because there's no telling what you're going to hear. But the pastor loves God. And the pastor, born again and spirit-filled. Look, there are a lot of simple, and I use that term because it's in the Bible, I don't use it insultingly, but there are a lot of simple pastors in the body of Christ who love God, but they just don't understand. Now, something you need to understand, get a hold of, I mean, you are the pastor of your heart. Every single one of you. You are the pastor of your heart. Too many Christians rely on the pastor of the church to be the pastor of their heart. It doesn't work. You are the pastor of your heart. And it's up to you to shepherd your heart as the pastor of your heart. And that doesn't go on enough. You know, how are you shepherding yourself into the mysteries of God? How are you doing that? Now, I really don't mean to be, rude. I hope it doesn't offend, but some of you guys that call this your home church, you're not doing a good job shepherding your heart. Because, quite frankly, there's still, you still have too many questions about the things of God. It shouldn't be like that. Not by now. You should be able, everything that I have taught to this point, you should be able to teach it. You should be able to come up with a lesson plan and teach it. And if you say, well, you know, but I'm not smart like you, Pastor. Boy, am I glad you said that. Didn't we have two exhortations before this, before I started ministering the word tonight? Didn't we have two exhortations about how you see yourself? Yeah, okay. I don't know how smart you are. But what I do know is this. If you're born again, you have a spirit that can understand all these things. You may not be able to pronounce Mephibosheth. That's okay. But you can understand the things of God. We are too far along in all this, guys. We're expecting revival and we're expecting an outpouring and so forth. You know what? We can't stay simple. We can't. You know, there are no excuses now. How are you shepherding yourself into the mysteries of God? And that's not just this church, it's other churches too. People that are watching this, you know, your pastor is not your Bible. And your pastor is not your Holy Spirit. This is you. Totally on you. And you say, well, you know, you're being kind of mean. No, I'm not trying to be mean. What I'm trying to do, okay, if you're on a football team, sooner or later the coach is going to put a boot on your backside and tell you to get it in gear because we got a game coming up. You want to be on this team or not? Yeah, but it's hot. I don't care. Yeah, but I'm tired. I don't care. It's practice. You need to know the playbook. You need to be ready for this. And there are too many Christians, they don't know the playbook. They're not ready. But they love God. They're not in sin. But they're not ready. That has to change. The pastor is not your Bible or your Holy Spirit. And you know, until you have, and this applies to anybody, and it applies to me too, relative to where I am in Christ, to where God wants me to be. You see, until we've developed ourselves spiritually to understand the leading of the Lord, to understand His truth, to understand His Word, and so forth, now get this, you will always, 100% always judge teaching and what you believe according to your human reasoning. You will always. 100% guaranteed. There are no exceptions to this. Absolutely none. That's the way you will live. Because until you have something in you that counters the error and the self-taught belief, you're always going to judge the Word of God according to your human reasoning. Well, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What does that mean? Do you even know what you're talking about? Well, you know, if we only had a way to understand these things like we don't, there are too many Christians are, what's a good way to put this? They read Scripture and then they interpret it by their own reasoning. You know, okay. Here's a very simple and silly illustration. If you go up to Canada and start driving on the freeway, Canada has speed limits in kilometers per hour. Now, while you're driving on the road, if you look over and you see the sign on the road and it says 100, and you think, Glorioski. It doesn't mean 100 miles per hour. It means 100 kilometers per hour. 100 kilometers per hour is 60 miles per hour. You got that? Please remember that if you're ever up there. But what happened is you saw 100 and you just defined it by your reasoning, not according to what's actually written on that sign. Well, guess what? When you see the flashing lights, just try to tell the officer, but it said 100. He's going to say, yeah, it says 100, but you interpreted the 100 the wrong way. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. I'm an American. Well, you didn't just get a ticket. You just got your car hauled off. So you're an American, eh? Until we have that foundation, until we're firmly established in the Word, we're always going to define the Bible. Always going to explain Scripture by our human reasoning. And that goes on too much even now here in this church. It shouldn't be like that. Because there is a way to understand the Word of God. Well, you know, I've taught on that before. You see, but this is why so many Christians get pulled into error and reject truth and are, you know, critical and cynical and condescending, even in a kind manner, toward the people who are genuinely teaching truth. Well, you understand it your way, and I understand it my way. Well, you know what? The Bible makes it very clear that the Word of God, Scripture, is not by any private interpretation. There is no your way, my way. No, there's not. There's only one way. Now, you can use Scripture to illustrate different things, but there's only one way. Only one. And I don't mind when people ask me questions. However, sometimes the questions I'm asked reveal you haven't even tried to find the answer in the Word of God. You haven't made any effort at all. Oh, Pastor, does God love me? Now, I don't think anybody's ever asked me that. But, you know, if you ask that question, if you even make the statement, I don't see how God could love me anymore. I just don't. You just told me volumes about what you understand concerning the Word of God. And it's not good. We had, let me back up. My first conference at the Family Prayer Center in Tulsa was March of 1997. So it's been 25 years. And Pastor Dave Roberson has been here and he's ministered. So, in general terms, we had Pastor Dave for 25 years. Now, I know it wasn't a full 25 years, but just kind of bear with me here. We had Pastor Dave for 25 years. Now, through him, God delivered to us unparalleled teaching, prophecies, and ministry. I've never, in all my years, in over 40 years of serving the Lord, I've never known anybody like him. The teaching, the ministry, nobody. A lot of good ones, but nobody like him. And so through him, God delivered to us, like I said, unparalleled teaching and prophecies and ministry. He taught us about praying in tongues and the benefits. Well, what happened when we would spend time praying in tongues? He taught us how to meditate Scripture and to understand it. He taught us how to develop ourselves spiritually so we could come to the place of hearing God for ourselves. When people come to me and ask, you know, is God telling you anything about me? What's God saying about me? Has God said something? You know, can you, what's, ask him, what's he saying about me right now? What, you know, seriously, come on. You know, why don't you listen to the teaching you need to hear, pay attention to it, apply what is being taught, and you'll come to the place of hearing God yourself. You know, and most of the time, in fact, it's rare that anybody who's ever come to me and asked that, I'm hearing anything. And it's almost like they're insulted when I tell them, well, nothing. It's like, what? He's not telling you anything about me. No. And maybe you should be glad. But, here's what's interesting. Out of all the things that he taught, there were many who rejected him and his teaching for various reasons. And I've heard some of those reasons. And they're just excuses. They're just cop-outs. It's a way to defend immaturity. And the truth is, the primary reason that they rejected him and the teaching was because they have not truly engaged the entrance of God's Word in a contextual fashion. Now, they can say they have. But the thing is, when you take, and I know, you know, a lot of times, you know, Pastor Dave taught things, and I thought, wow, I never heard it like that. But I would go back into the Word, leave it in context. It's like, okay, yeah, I see this. I understand. I get it. No problem. Let's go forward now. It wasn't that big of a deal. But when people come along and started, you know, they're criticizing, well, he didn't know what he's talking about, blah, blah. It's like, wait a second. Don't even try that on me, because I've searched the Scriptures to see if these things be so. Now, I'm telling you, what I heard was right. It's right. But yet, you had these people that criticized, and people that, a lot of it was pride. A lot of it, you know, I mean, there are people, let me put it in my terms. There are people out there that walked away from Pastor Dave because they felt like they knew far more about the Word of God than he. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. Let me hear you teach. Let me hear what you have to say. And some of them, I did hear them teach. And they didn't know more than what Pastor Dave knew. The more you get into the Word of God, the more there's change. The entrance of thy Word, it gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. So now, when we think of this, well, in fact, you know, when we consider what happened, like with Pastor Dave and the people that rejected him, the same thing happened with the Apostle Paul. People rejected him, didn't want anything to do with him, criticized him, felt like they knew more than he knew, so on and so forth. Well, now let's consider this. You know, God thought so much of what the Apostle Paul taught, he took his letters and made them Scripture. That should say something about the individual. And yet, there were people that, I mean, you can read about it in the Word, that rejected him and his teachings for whatever their reasons. But compared to what Paul taught and the things, other things identified in Scripture, what other people were saying, I mean, you know, who should we follow? The Apostle Paul or his critics? Who should we follow? And some of those critics are identified by name in here. You know, Alexander the Coppersmith. Listen, those people, and there are a couple of others that are named. Now, I want you to think about this. God allowed those people's names to be left in Scripture. How would you like to know, 2,000 years later, everybody knows your name and what you did? Can you imagine? Hopefully those people made it to heaven. Can you imagine? There you are, Alexander the Coppersmith. You don't want to make eye contact with anybody. You're Alexander, aren't you? Oh, I read about you. So who should we follow? The Apostle Paul or his critics? Well, obviously, we should follow the Apostle Paul. But the same thing relative to, like with Pastor Dave. If Pastor Dave taught, if what he taught lines up precisely with what is recorded in Scripture, what Paul and Peter, James, John, and others wrote, you know, who should we follow? Pastor Dave or his critics? Well, the answer is pretty simple to that. Pastor Dave. And you say, well, now we don't want to exalt a man. We're willing to follow the Apostle Paul, right? You do understand he was just a man, right? You understand that?
Yeah.
Okay. And didn't the Apostle Paul tell Timothy, you take what I've taught and you teach it to others who will teach the same thing? So a couple thousand years later, here we have Pastor Dave Roberson. He was teaching the same thing. In fact, after 2,000 years, it got all jumbled. All kinds of crazy stuff was taught about it. And Pastor Dave helped bring all of this back into focus for us. And so we start seeing what the apostles originally taught. And then, you know, like Pastor Dave would say, show me your dust. In other words, you take the baton and you keep going. Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to keep going with this. And it all goes back to the Word. All of it, it goes back to the Word. This past Sunday, you know, the title of the sermon was, Who Are Your Fathers? You know, who are you listening to? Because if you're not listening to people who have just brought the Word into their lives, God help you. And even He's going to be limited in doing that because He works within the parameters of His Word. You know, we had those exhortations before the service, two of them, about knowing who you are and stop saying things about yourself that are wrong. Now hear me. When you get the Word in you, now get a hold of this now. When you get the Word in you, and I don't mean you just read it like you're reading, a Goldilocks story. No, I'm talking when you get the Word in you, you study to show yourself approved unto God. You sow it. When you get the Word in you, you know what's going to happen? You will stop calling yourself stupid. You'll stop calling yourself dumb. You'll stop calling yourself ugly. You'll stop saying you can't remember anything. You will stop talking about yourself that way. It will not cross your lips. It just won't. It flat out won't. Because you will start speaking about yourself in line with what God has said about you. I am my beloved and He is mine. His banner over me is love. You will never again say, I just don't feel like God loves me anymore. You'll never say that. Never. You'll never say something like, I just don't feel God anymore. Because you will know, He never leaves me and He never forsakes me. The Word gives you the revelation of who you are. And when you get that in you, you're going to stop all this poor mouth talk about yourself. It won't happen. It'll never happen. Oh, you know, you might say something jokingly, like, oh man, how can I be so silly? Drop that ink pen. So, I mean, you sentence, but even that's going to be diminished and eventually even eliminated. You're going to stop saying, how can I be so clumsy? You're going to say, you will stop saying things like, you know what? Every time I lose my keys, you won't say that anymore. You will stop cursing yourself with lies. Because the Word of God declares who you are. The Word of God says you have the mind of Christ. The Word of God says you have the ability to understand the deep things of God. The Word of God reveals unto you that you are loved, that you are special, that you're born from above, that you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ, that you are blessed. On and on and on it goes. How you talk about yourself will completely change. And now see, I did not understand it this way until several years ago. Until I'm getting into the Word and change is taking place in me, and I realized I don't need to be saying this stuff anymore. I'm not dumb. I mean, I may not be, Einstein physics smart, not like that, but I'm not dumb. I can understand the Word. And you'll stop saying, I just can't understand the Bible. I just can't understand the Bible. Yes, you can. I can't understand this King James stuff. Yes, you can. Okay, listen. Let me give you a hint on this one. If God knew there was no way that you could understand the King James Bible, we wouldn't have the King James Bible. Do you understand that?
Well, I don't know, brother.
Yeah, okay. Well, go ahead. If he knew that we couldn't, if he knew there was no way you could fully understand it, it would never have been like this. It just wouldn't have happened. He would have waited a few centuries and given us something that's watered down. Because most all those versions now are. Now, the point I'm trying to get at is, if the word isn't there, okay, Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. If there's no entrance, if it's not happening, then guess what? There's no light. None. And if there's no entrance and no light, then it means there's no understanding. And if there's no entrance and no light and no understanding, then guess what? You remain simple. Continually interpreting the Bible with human intellect and reason. This is very simple. This is not complicated. So therefore, you know, we have these reading assignments. You know, the Bible, the reading for the month of, and then, you know, those assignments are out there. I don't know if you're doing that or not. And I'm not casting stones if you're not. But if you're not, you do understand. I mean, if you're not doing that, and you're really not focusing on anything else, then the word is not entering. It doesn't, you can't take your Bible and like rub it on your head and assume it just sort of morphs on in. You just soak it through. Have you ever seen that internet video where there's this little kid, he's maybe 6 or 7 or 8, 9, whatever, and he's supposed to be learning in school, and he's taking his textbook and he looks down at a page and he goes like this, and then he goes like this. Like he's, you know, waving the knowledge into his head. It doesn't work that way. You can't open your Bible and just like, oh yeah, ooh, Revelation. Oh, it's all over me. No. You have to put it in. The entrance of thy word. And so see, when you first get born again, there may be a bunch of stuff up there in your head. But man, you've got to get back into the Word, because now you've got a spirit that can understand these things. And see, if you don't do this, there is nothing I can do. I can't, you know, put it in you. This is between you and God. No matter how much Word that I deliver, or anybody else that stands up here, no matter how much we deliver unto you, that's just a beginning. That's like, you know, the entryway, the foyer. I mean, what do you want to call it, man? That's just the starting point. You can't live, no, you cannot properly live, and you absolutely cannot properly grow spiritually if all you get is Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night word. That's it. I mean, if that's all you get, you can't. I don't know. Let me rephrase that. You'll grow a little bit. A little bit. I mean, the word's the word. But to get where you need to be, it won't happen. It all goes back to the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was made flesh. The Word dwelt among us. God created by the Word. The Word is still alive. The Word is still active. Remember, you are the pastor or the shepherd of your heart. You. Are you leading it to the green pastures and the still waters of God's Word? Are you preparing a table of the milk and the meat of God's Word for your heart? Are you doing that? Because if you're not, then the growth, the spiritual growth that you're seeking, it won't happen. You say, well, I'll just sit around praying tongues. Well, praise God for that. That's something. However, you need to understand that the Holy Spirit works with the Word that we've sown in us. So if you're not sowing any Word, one of the things the Holy Spirit's going to do while you're praying in tongues is He'll probably start convicting you. You need to give me something to work with here. You know, you want me to change your flat tire, but you won't give me a jack. Come on. Help me out there. The light bulb is burned out. I can't change it until you give me a new one. You have to give him something to work with. And that's why I know some people might think, you know, well, you know, I got to get tired of you, Pastor, always talking about, you know, getting the word. What does she want me to say? Getting Dr. Seuss? Cat in the Hat? Horton Hears a Who? What do you want me to say? God gave us His Word for a reason. It's our spiritual sustenance. This is how we grow and develop. So remember, you're the shepherd of your heart. You're the shepherd of your heart. I may be the shepherd or the pastor of the congregation, but you're the shepherd of your heart. And you got to get the Word in you. Whether, you know, read it, listen to it, get it in you. It's absolutely critical. And what's interesting is that the more you put it in you, change will start to take place, and the change, it'll be something, it'll be, you won't have to put forth as much effort. The example, your speech will start changing how you talk about yourself, and you won't have to put that much effort into it. In other words, you ever been around somebody, they say something like, you know, oh, I'm so dumb. Well, I know I shouldn't say those things. Okay, then why are you saying it? I mean, if you know it. No, what will happen is you just won't say those things. Because God's Word, Spirit and life, the change will take place. So yeah, you'll know what's going on in somebody's life by virtue, just what fruit are they bearing. If they're bearing the fruit of the Word, that change will be there. So praise God, guys, be encouraged in this. God wants to work with us and get us so ready for a massive outpouring and revival, but He needs our cooperation in this, and it all starts here with the Word. Praise God. Please stand. Father, I pray for me, for everybody who's here and calls this their home church, and for those maybe that just we are a supplement to their home church. Father, I ask that there would be conviction concerning us getting into the Word and sowing it, giving it entrance into our lives. I pray that there would be conviction to where, Father, we'll every day there'll be something that we sow into our lives. We will put the Word in us, Father, because our spirits are hungry for it. And I thank You for the change that will come about as a result. So, Father, just keep working on us, in us, and through us to bring about Your perfect will. In Your precious name, O Lord, amen.